This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
But like we do each week, we bring in now our friend from ESPN, the great Tom Luganville.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, crane works, rental works, yeah! Big dog's got it.
ESPN's Tom Luganville on the Roundtable is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, Tom Luganville.
And Luke joins us each week on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. Tom Luganville, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How are we doing today?
Doing great. Are you geared up? I don't know how many total bowl games you have. I saw the schedule come out. But bowl season's kind of weird. I guess it really gets you out of your normal routine, right?
Yeah, kind of screw. Well, the problem is you got signing day, then you go into Christmas, then I go into Under Armour mode, and then depending on where my bowl game is, I got to leave there, do that, then come back, do the Under Armour game, then we got the national championship, and in between there, I got to go up to Bristol this year. We're going to do a mega cast film room on one of the semifinal games and kind of break it down from a what these people do in scheme-wise type of standpoint.
Wow. So that is a busy time. Before we get into the games, with signing day coming up next week, a lot of the work is already done. I mean, most of these guys are already committed. They're probably going to sign where they're committed, with maybe a very, very few exceptions. Is there a shocker that is still out there, or is there a big storyline that interests you heading in on somebody that is uncommitted right now?
I don't know if it's so much a shocker or storyline as much as it is looking at the programs that have the most room to make the biggest moves leading up to Wednesday. A program like Georgia, Auburn's another one. LSU is another one. They're in some battles going deep leading into next Wednesday. Notre Dame's another one. Florida State's going to be interesting to watch. A program that hasn't signed a high school quarterback in two consecutive classes. Let that marinate for a minute. With Mike Norvell and his staff, what he's able to accomplish in a short period of time. So always tracking the new coaches, how much they can get done between now and next Wednesday, and then how that projects out in January when everybody else's hay, for the most part, is in the barn. But then you've got an opportunity in January, you know, if you're an Eli Drinkwitz, if you're a Mike Norvell, whoever it may be, to really know who everybody has, what your remaining needs are, and a much smaller player pool to have to deal with.
Luganville, I'm one of those guys that believes Clemson's the best team in college football. The fact is they haven't been challenged. I don't know whether or not they're going to win another national championship, but we had a caller ask us this question. It's really interesting. How many current SEC starting quarterbacks, if they would have taken Clemson over at the beginning of the year, would Clemson have gone undefeated with?
That is a pretty good question.
I mean, I'll just throw some out. I mean, Bo Nix, are they undefeated?
No.
Because of the North Carolina game? Is that the one that trips you up? I can't believe that's a question, yeah. But it is a question.
Yeah, it trips me up. I just think, so maybe that makes them, 12-1, what have you. You look at Tua, obviously, I think there's great opportunity there. Joe Burrow, absolutely. I don't know if I'd necessarily say they'd be undefeated with Jake Fromm, because I think Jake Fromm needs a really strong running game and really good players around him, which obviously Clemson has, to be at his best. I want to go back to something you guys said, though, there about Clemson, which I thought was so interesting when everybody's talking about, okay, well, we know who the four are that are going in. The question is, who's number one? And then everybody would follow that up with, because we want to avoid playing Clemson in the semifinal. Well, doesn't that tell you who the number one team is?
You're right about that. Nobody wanted either that or how big a separation there is between 3 and 4.
I mean, do you agree with that, though, Luganville? Do you believe Clemson's the best team right now?
I do. I had an opportunity to see him twice. Saw him back-to-back against LSU in back-to-back weeks. Listen, I think sometimes there are teams that are so talented, so deep, at all the right spots. And when I say that about Clemson, I'm including the defense. You can talk all you want about those guys that they lost. Nobody's paying attention to the guys that they got. I just think you kind of got to throw the schedule aside and say, hold on a second. When this team has played in big games, what have they done? Well, they're 10-1 against the SEC. They're 6-1 versus the SEC West. They've dominated quality opponents in the college football playoff. So I don't know what else we can do to gauge how good they are other than what they've done in the past, what they've done right now, and how they're built. They seem to be able to handle success really, really well.
ESPN's Tom Luganville is with us on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. He joins us each week courtesy of our friends at Craneworks. Just look for that big dog down off the Red Mountain Expressway. I don't know what to make of this, but you're a coach's kid. You've coached yourself. The fact that all four of these guys that are in this playoff got their job because they were promoted from within their program seems pretty unique. Now, two were retiring coaches, two were fired coaches. But that's pretty unique that you see four guys that weren't a product of some big national search. They were all guys promoted from within coaching this game.
Yeah, I think it's neat because it's guys that had kind of earned their way. I mean, you look at Lincoln Riley, I mean, I remember doing the Virginia Tech East Carolina game in Blacksburg. He's the offensive coordinator. And, you know, they beat Virginia Tech the week before, and this was 2014, they beat Ohio State. But what's interesting is when you look at that offense under Lincoln Riley at East Carolina and subsequently before the other places he'd been, including Texas Tech, it's not even close to the offense that they are now. That guy has evolved. He has morphed in and changed with the landscape. He has become an air raid guy that wants to run the football first. So Mike Leach has disowned him. I look at how these guys all come up, and it is pretty remarkable. I mean, look at the doubters with Ed Orgeron, and how is he going to do this? Ed Orgeron deserves credit for two things: getting out of the freaking way and hiring good people and letting them do their job. Because what he's best at is rah-rah and recruiting. Let the other guys coach. You manage the program, you manage practice, you manage the infrastructure, and you go out and you get players. And he deserves a lot of credit.
How uncommon for a coach, though, I mean, and another coach on that staff that deserves credit is Steve Ensminger.
More than anybody else.
Yeah, for being able to park his ego and saying, look, I know technically the guy that's underneath me is going to get all the praise here.
He's the unsung hero of the entire thing. And I asked him about it point blank when we had him. I said, when you were approached by coach about this, obviously you've coached for almost 40 years. You've been in a lot of places, been very successful. You know, what was your initial reaction? He said, bring it on. He goes, I don't care. We'll do it together. We'll figure it out together. And if it makes us better, it makes us better. He's the guy that deserves maybe more credit than anybody else.
Three of these four quarterbacks, transfer quarterbacks. I know this is going nowhere, Tom. I mean, this is the new college football.
Well, here's the goal when you're recruiting the quarterbacks out of the high school ranks. Get as many good ones as you can. Worry about what happens later. You know you're going to lose one. You might lose two. I mean, you look at Herm Edwards right now. Herm Edwards at Arizona State, they're recruiting like heck. They signed two freshman quarterbacks a year ago. They're both 1-2 on the depth chart. The other kid, Joey Yellen, comes in and plays against USC, plays the tail off. But he's got a true freshman in the same class in front of him. At some point or another, something's going to have to happen. But it's really what you do in the short term of the recruitment of it so that you put yourself in a position to have those choices, to sit there and say, okay, who's our best guy? Who's going to beat out so-and-so and create competition in the room? I think that's the most important thing. You know you're going to lose somebody, but prepare yourself to have to make that tough choice.
I know this Ryan Day offense was perfect for Justin Fields to thrive, but in retrospect, do you think if Kirby could go back and reevaluate, do you think Fields would be the guy at Georgia?
I think the timing of it made it impossible. Put it this way. If Jake Fromm had stepped in and struggled and it wasn't going well and they weren't moving the football and let's just say the moment or the game was too big for him, that's an entirely different conversation. I think the timing played out so poorly for Kirby Smart in that. And listen, if you're Justin Fields, and you're probably going in there thinking, okay, this is an open competition. I'm going to have a chance to beat him out. And you know what? The coaches probably said, we're going to play the best guy, and weren't lying to the kid when they said it, but maybe didn't anticipate that Jake Fromm was going to develop and rise as fast as he did. And maybe Justin Fields wasn't quite ready to take that next step. And I don't know if the offensive game plan at Georgia is something that was really beneficial to Justin Fields. I think the one thing Ryan Day has done, and Ryan Day loves a mobile quarterback, but he has built that offense around the strengths of the quarterback with really good players around him.
One of the matchups a lot of people talk about, Lugs, in this playoff is when we get to see Stingley versus CeeDee Lamb. And look, CeeDee Lamb's a tremendous receiver, and I know he's going against good DBs. Stingley's seen some pretty good receivers in the SEC and Duvernay at Texas when he's going head-to-head with those guys. Do you look forward to that matchup? Is there an advantage in that matchup?
Well, it's interesting because CeeDee Lamb's one of those rare, big, tall, long receivers that moves like he's Jaylen Waddle. You know, he's just so fluid and explosive. And oftentimes you find big guys that are 50-50 ball guys, they're run and catch guys, but they don't offer the after-the-catch stuff that CeeDee Lamb does. So I don't even know if it's so much of a coverage matchup. I think it's an open field tackling matchup where LSU has to contend with a guy. But here's the difference, and I truly believe this. Aside from, let's just say, Alabama and Clemson, who are very similar to LSU when it comes to the 3 to 4 to 5 wideouts that they can put on the field at the same time, I don't think Oklahoma's that deep. I think there's a much bigger drop-off between CeeDee Lamb and their other targets. And their other targets are good players. Jadon Hazelwood's going to be a star. He's a true freshman. They've got a couple of inside slot guys. But they don't take the field and have a Justin Jefferson, Terrace Marshall, Jamar Chase, or a Devontae Smith and a Jerry Jeudy and a Henry Ruggs. It's not as equal across the board. And if that allows LSU to maybe really focus on making Jalen Hurts go in another direction because you take away CeeDee Lamb, I think that benefits LSU.
Would you like to do a movie review? I don't know if you've seen anything. Maybe The Irishman? We've all seen it.
Oh, did you like it? I loved it.
Oh, yeah, we thought it was great.
I think it's Joe Pesci's best work. Would you agree with that?
Well, what's so amazing about it is it's such an understated Joe Pesci.
Yeah, really good,
so
though.
Different. Yeah, yeah, really, really good. You know the one I want to see, and I'm getting, guys, this is the first weekend I haven't. My wife was wondering why I was here yesterday. and so I'm around. I'm going to take my son to the North Carolina State High School Playoff Championships tomorrow in Raleigh. But I have some afternoon clearing tonight, and this afternoon I'm thinking about maybe seeing Richard Jewell.
Yeah, that's what I want to see, too.
Because, I mean,
it's a great story, Logan Bill, and it's awesome. Amazing. I brought up Richard Jewell on the show, and it's amazing how many people don't know who Richard Jewell is.
You know what's unbelievable? There's more people that are going to know who Harvey Updike is than Richard Jewell.
Oh, jeez. That's terrible.
Oh, in our audience, there's no doubt.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Think about
Are you bothered by this? The AJC is really upset that they made this reporter out to have an affair to get information, and they say there's no evidence. Does that bother you at all?
No, it doesn't bother me because I'm going to the movie for entertainment. I want to be entertained. I don't get into all the political crap with a movie. I mean, it's like...
Well, it is unfair to her, though. I mean, there's no evidence that she did this.
Well,
lots of things are unfair in life, Brownie.
That is true. Tell Richard Jewell about fair.
Well,
he's been dead and gone a while.
And that the AJC had a good point on this. They're like, you know, Clint Eastwood's making this movie because this guy got falsely accused. Well, you're doing the same exact thing to this reporter. That's a good point.
Well, that is it's a great point. I just want to be entertained by whether or not it's a good movie.
Yeah.
And Clint Eastwood makes good movies, I will say that.
Well, then next week you can break that one down for us. So,
all right, I'll do that. And anything else? Well, next week, we got to figure out next week because I got to check my schedule, see how we make this thing work.
I have full confidence in you. We'll find a way to make it work.
All right.
It's 75 on Rotten Tomatoes right now for Richard Jewell, so not bad.
What is it?
75.
75, okay.
Yeah, all it's right. Okay.
Right, I see. Hey, when's the quitter coming back to the job?
Oh, well, we're all burning up vacation. You know, we get all this vacation, we never use it. You know us, just workers.
All right, boys.
All right, Lugs. Have a great... Oh, wait. You got to do the business here. ESPN's Tom Lugabill joins us each week on the Michelob Ultra Hotline, and he does so courtesy of our friends at Craneworks.
That's right. Don't forget about Craneworks. Carries a fleet of cranes ranging from 2.5 tons to 500 tons. They offer bare rental or operated cranes. Craneworks also offers trained and certified operators and riggers to make sure the job is done right. When it's time for your next lift, machinery moving, or rigging project, Craneworks is the company to call. Visit craneworks.com for more info.
I literally almost forgot Greenworks, so I'm glad you said that. Luke's
Don't do that.
I will not. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right. See you guys.